Blog Talk Radio.
Was a rich, I remember who I was. I was lost, I was blind, I was running out. It's a rain, the grief is far too long. But from the bottom, you held me in your arms. Thank you.
Thank you. Glory, let the weight of your glory fall. Prophets, I just sent you a text message. I didn't hear back from you. Are you willing to, are you ready to minister this morning?
Yes, sir. Prophetess. God bless you. Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
I hear you now.
Can you hear?
A lot of time.
Okay.
Yeah, I can hear you now, but you know, when I respond to you, I need you to respond back to me so that we can keep things kosher. Okay? Anyway,
well,
let's move on. No problem. I had sent a message by the minister, Jones, and I didn't hear back from you. But, Father, we just thank you and praise you, O God. We thank you for this day. Thank you for your omnipotent presence, O God. You are such a mighty God. You're such an awesome God. God, nothing happens on earth that heaven does not know, Lord. Lord, there's no sickness here on earth that heaven cannot heal. And there's no evil that on earth that heaven cannot destroy. Father, we thank you right now. We thank you for the unity of the Blog Talk family, O God. And Lord, we just ask, O God, that you rain down even right now on this here land, that you let the anointing that flows from the throne room, the oil that destroys yokes and removes burdens, the oil that heals, the oil that delivers, the oil that restores, O God, flow upon this line. Let it flow to the north, the south, the east, and the west, God. We pray, God, that you anoint this woman of God, anoint her eyes, her ears, and her lips of clay, that as she see and hear, she will speak, O God. Father, we thank you that she had come this morning to break bread with us and for us, O God. God, give me a chance to rest my throat, because my throat is just is on fire. Even as I speak right now, my throat, my esophagus is burning. It's just like it's got fire down there. But we thank God because we know God is healing me. We know that he's healing me for the job, the work that I have that is ahead of me in the days, in the months, in the years to come. Father, we just bless you. And Lord, now, even right now, as your word is already, the atmosphere is already prepared because you have created the atmosphere with your presence. You have sterilized the atmosphere with your glorious anointing. We ask, O God, know that you touch the hearts and minds of the people that are coming on, that even as they come on, O God, their hearts will be receptive, O God, will be ready. They will not come on just to critique the message, but they will come on to hear the message and receive the message. In Jesus' name, bless the prophetess as she go ahead to declare the truth of your word today. Go ahead, prophetess. That it's in your hand.
Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Father, I stretch my hands to you. God, there's no other help we know. Heaven and earth is failing. God, the strength of men, women, boys, and girls are failing. Everything is failing without you, God. God, we turn to you today with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. I know, we know that we are nothing without you, can't do nothing without you. It's because of you today that we are living, moving, and have our being. And we come to give you glory and honor and praise for your extended mercies upon each of us that is sitting in your presence today, for mercy all around us, for sparing everything around us that concerns us, our land, and all that we possess, all that we've given to your care, you have kept because you are a faithful promise keeper. You told us you would keep all that we commit into your hands. And we thank you, God, that you have been faithful to us. We pray that you would strengthen us even the more and set a word within us that we will be as faithful to you as you are to us. We love you today, and we lift our voice to worship you. Oh, my soul, rejoice to stand in your behalf, to stand in defense of the gospel. God, to hedge, to block the power of all that is evil that seek to kill and to slaughter the innocent. God, that seek to deceive the simple. Oh, that's deepening the blindness upon the eyes and the minds of the nations. But we pray today for a continual eye-salve anointing, not only upon our eyes that we may see what you would say unto us, but that you will anoint these who are on this line today that are comprehensive, that are sober. God, that wait for a word from you, you will anoint their minds and their eyes to see and to interpret, to understand all that thou wilt say unto us individually as well as corporately. We bless you today. We praise you today. And we pray that you would keep our mind in the spirit all the time, in our homes, hallelujah, in the marketplaces, workplaces, everywhere we go, in the valleys, through the valleys, across hills and mountains, rivers, great waters, and even the dry places, the shattered places, the miry places. We thank you for your help through it all. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I praise you, for you are my strength. You are my strength. You are my strength. You are my peace today. You are my peace. Hallelujah. And I worship you. Oh, great God, you're worthy to be praised. Oh, God, at the going down of the sun to the rising of the moon, your name is great and worthy to be praised. I thank you for this place that you've seated us in today, for this platform given us, the man of God, his wife, and all that stand with him as pillars, as Aaron and Ur was to God, Moses. Pray for his strength today, that you would continue to keep him and bless him and use him, and that you would be glorified in his body and his spirit, that the trumpet will remain strong in his mouth. His words will be sound and plain, that not even a fool would err. God, we pray that you would release a word to feed the lambs and the sheep, and there will be a mighty rebuke against evil, against the workers of iniquity and the seed that you, oh God, expressed of Genesis 3:15. We pray for restraint, that there be no detour, no distraction, no wavering, no walking away, no hatred, no despisement against your word today. But we pray for a reception, that you would give them all a heart of flesh and a ear to hear what your spirit will say unto us today. Be glorified. Be glorified in our body and in our spirit. Hallelujah, be glorified, O Lamb of God. And let the blood of Jesus be fortified upon every orifice of our being, triune-wise, our windows, our doors, our thresholds, wherever there's entry and exiting. Oh, upon the eyes, the mouth, the nostrils, the ears, God, everything below the waist. We pray for safety, that there be no fellowship. Nothing can touch us, which is contrary to the things that are eternal. We bless you and we praise you today for every seeing eye and for every hearing ear. We ask you, Lord, to release the anointing and turn up the abilities to discern both good and evil today. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, let every sense
spiritual sense be exercised to discern both good and evil. Let them hear swiftly. Let them hear what the Spirit will say unto them today. You said he will speak that which ye hear and he would convey to us. You said he would show us things to come. God, we ask that he be loosed in the name of Jesus to move in the midst of us. God, to move in the midst of the triune, the body, soul, and spirit. Perfected all that's left that concern us, that need perfected. We need you today, and we stretch our hands to you, oh, with the offering of our heart, our mind, and everything within us. We commit our ways to you. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Hallelujah. You're worthy to be praised. You're worthy, you're worthy. Now rain down righteousness. Show us the right path, the path to take. God, magnify the lamp at our feet. Let there be a word on our steps. In the name of Jesus, we pray, God, that thine will be done. And that your kingdom be made visible to us in its fullness. Almighty God, let the strength all of those who are of the fivefold thrones that are seated together with us today, let us be united and touch and agree. Oh God, that all that concern each of us will be perfected. All that we are and all that we not, we commit to you, oh God, for the furtherance, all the glory that must be revealed in those who are submitted and those who have kept their bodies in sanctification and honor. We will give you praise and glory right now for giving them an ear to hear. God, for binding every contrariness of AI and any other beast or creature or thing that's operating in the atmos, the fear, the air that would try to hinder or cause delay or static. God, make these words not clear. We pray, God, that the word of God have free course today. In Jesus' holy and righteous name, I pray. Give me ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. In the name of Jesus, help me to speak that which is edifying and minister grace to the hearers of your word, that we may be strengthened with all might in our inner man today, right now, for the next hour. Purpose, God. And for this, we would give you glory, honor, and praise, that you would save today by this word, that you would heal and mend broken hearts, heal wounded spirits, lift up the hang-down head and strengthen the feeble. Heal those with all manner of sickness and disease and infirmities, viruses, bacteria, plagues upon them, curses that are reversible. God, we come to bless whom you won't bless. We will not bless what thou hast cursed, that under your hand of chastisement, your will be done in your time. We here waiting on you, Lord, to do what only you could do for these, your people, and those that have an ear to hear today. This we ask in the glorious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen to the glory of God. Hallelujah. Real, real. Jesus is real to me. Oh, yes. He gives me the victory. So many people doubt him, but I can live without him. That is why I love him so. He's so real to me. In the morning, he's real, so real. Jesus is real to me. Oh, yeah. He gives me the victory. So many people doubt him, but I can't live without him. That is why I love him so. He's so real to me in the noonday. Real, he's real. Jesus is real to me. Oh, yes. He gives me the victory. So many people doubt him, but I can live without him. That is why I love him so. He's so real to me. In the evening, he's real, oh, real. Jesus is real to me. Oh, yes. He gives me the victory. So many people doubt him, but I can't live without him. That is why I love him so. He's so real to me. In the midnight, he's real, so real. Jesus is real to me. Oh, yeah, he gives me the victory. So many people doubt him, but I can live without him. That is why I love him so. He's so real to me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He is so real to me. Amen. How many could say that today? That Jesus is real to you. Amen. We're in a day where there's so much war against faith and belief in God, and our adversaries, amen, are showing the signs of fear. They are working overtime to try to erase God consciousness, to try to steal it, to try to remove their faith from the Word of God. And they thinking about going about changing the Word of God, have tried over the course of thousands of years to rewrite history, to rewrite the scriptures, and oh, it don't change nothing. God's Word is forever settled in the heavens, and not one jot or tittle will pass away. God's word will fall as he has pre-spoken it. And we honor him today for our unchanging word. And it works. It works. But so many people doubt him, and I can't live without him. That's why I love him. So I never would have made it this far had it not been for a word at the magnitude that I have heard, at the level I have heard, and from the tables that I have been privileged to eat meat, even at a very young age. In my early beginnings of born again, I was privileged and privy to have tutors and teachers force-fed and gave us stuff that people would say, oh, they too young for that, they too young to hear that, or, oh, you know, that's too much for the church, or, oh, that's too strong, or that's too hard. Amen. But how many know you got to eat the whole world? We need all of it, as the scripture is said through the prophets, that it'll go in bitter, but when it gets down in your belly, it is so sweet. It is so satisfying.
the word of God. It is so fulfilling. And nothing, nothing completes you and can reach in places that nothing else, no other word, has the dominance or the dominion or the authority or the ability to permeate throughout our triune. It reaches from the spirit, goes in the spirit, and comes out through the soulless realm to set it in order. And then when the mind and the spirit, the mind and the spirit and the spirit is one, then it controls the flesh. Amen. And keep things in order. Praise God. And I just thank the Lord today that I'm yet saved and sanctified. I voluntarily gave my life to the Lord and have set myself aside for these very purposes, to pray and to sing and to shout and dance when I get a chance, and to teach, preach, or whatever, prophesy, give a word of wisdom, knowledge. Praise God. Just whatever the glory is that I'm to do and to perform, I'm so willing, because it has brought me nothing but life and peace. And I yet stay healed because of it. Praise God. No generational curses, no generational diseases, nothing. Ancestors' affliction has any preeminence over my life. And I thank the Lord today, amen, for sanctification, setting myself apart and keeping myself in alignment by much fasting and prayer. Today we give honor to each of you that are with us today, spending this moment with us as we break bread with you and give you what we feel the Lord is saying concerning today, this hour, amen, of what's present or what's coming, amen, and nothing more. I'm telling you, I'm always looking for a way to say something or to say something, not that the door is always there, but we certainly thank God for Apostle Calendar and for asking us to share with you all again today. We are all the apostles, Pastor Stewart, I know you're there, you're always there, and all of the apostles, some of them I don't know by name, and but my dear son, Minister Jones, Deron Jones, praise the Lord, and all of the ministers, all those who sit upon the fivefold throne of the kingdom of God, the apostles, the prophets, whether it's male or female, evangelists, teachers, and pastors, we thank God for you. Amen. God has entrusted you with ministry in this day and time, and we pray that you continue to be steadfast in that place that you're in, to have all the support that you need and the strength that you need to continue to stand in defense of the gospel and nothing more. Amen. And to war good warfare with the wisdom from above. Amen. And so today we thank God, amen, again, for you, you, and you, wherever you are geographically. We are so honored that our voice is going out in these various places. I so thank God for you for taking the time to listen to us today. Praise God. And how many know that there are so many things happening, so much to say, so much to talk about. You just don't know where to start sometimes. And unless you pray, unless there's a triggering by somebody else's message, a testimony that will lead you after the bearing witness of two or three, and then you'll know sometimes the direction to take. And there are the times that the Lord will hide even messages of what you're going to deliver. He'll hide it for you, not from you, but because of the spies or the adversary that sits and lie in wait to judge and to determine his movements either toward you or around you or somewhere geographically to try to bring confusion or to get you to be distracted from purpose or to be confused in this hour with so much confusion that's going on now. Oh, it's so much confusion, so much war against God, and I tell you, praise God, and I'm looking
the dangers that most leadership sit in the positioning of leadership, and the dangers of leadership and the temptations that are coming to world leaders and spiritual leaders, and the bribes and the threats that are now coming to those who lead who have not complied to New World Order or this new governing law, the changing of an old world to a temporal new world, just really going to last a little 7 years. Satan only has 7 years to do his thing, and because we know the world is about to enter the wrath of Satan. They're about to face the wrath of Satan, as Revelation 12 said, that the devil has come down having great wrath because he know his time is short. And you can tell the way everything is moving and accelerating, and I mean just off the Richter scale and off its rockers. People are going mad. Praise God that these are signs of fear of the fallen ones. And man, time almost up. We better do all we can do, because we're going to be cast into the lake soon. Let's do all the damage we can do to everything living and moving and have a being at this present time. We will not spare anyone, not even their own seed, as God proclaimed in Genesis 3:15, that these fallen ones have a seed. Seed meaning children born, amen, that are what we call in today's mythologies, Greek mythologies, and so many other ancient mythologies of demigods are titans. The modern day name is titans, bigger or taller in stature than the ordinary man. And so we have them on many degrees, of many statues. They are perfected. The leveling of the image, that not all of their children grow tall, but there would be a signature in their physical statue or something of their dad to let you know that they are some of the angels' children, even if the color of the eyes or the six fingers per hand or six toes per feet. There would be a marking or maybe a horn somewhere elongating or growing out of someone's skull, or there would be something to let you know that it's a mixture of something not made by God, but something that these angels and their scientific wonders in their laboratories of creating other species, and we're certainly at that of great shape-shifting and great cloning and hybrids and all beast and creature, that Paul even mentioned it in his day. So we know that there's nothing new under the sun when the church started, and he mentioned it in Romans 8 and told us that he was so strong now in his faith and walked toward God and confidence in God and loved God that he knew he wouldn't let nothing separate him from the love of God, of things present, things that's coming. No beast, creature, man, or woman, no hips, lips, fingertips, biceps, triceps, no power, money, and sex, or any other beast, or any other creature. And he's not just talking about cows, and which are under the category of beast, anything of that caliber. He was talking about other beings that are not being unleashed or loosed or released in this present world from books, Necromicons, and all the other books of ancient writings, and some of the lost books of Solomon's, the Odes of Solomon's, and things that have been sealed and stuff that been inscribed on caves and walls, and the pictorial imagery that shows you what they saw in times past, our ancestors and those way before our ancestors, of what's coming, because the scripture tells us, and I'm often quoting the same scripture, verse of scripture. I guess that's one of my main focuses anytime I speak in behalf of the Most High on Ecclesiastes, the first chapter and the third chapter, on that which is past, is here, and that which has been is coming. And so what they saw, if you want to know what's going to happen today or tomorrow, look at yesterday. Look at yesterday and look at their storytelling, their carvings, their writings, their drawing. And so whatever description they have of beast or creature, tall people, short people, miniature people, little mini flying people, what they call fairies and frogs and trolls and, I mean, all types of species of all sizes. Some with a lot of heads, some with one head, some no head, some with one eye, some with two eyes, some with seven eyes. Praise God. We know that these things have existed in the past and they are coming again, because the world ends with all worlds merging, and we are at the door of that now. And so, and if it's ever been a time for you to have your senses, as Hebrews 5:14 says, and having your senses exercise to discern both good and evil, it's today. Amen. You got to know the difference, you know, because we're in that hour now where people don't know the difference. They don't know the difference. They are so elusive, so hallucinating, so insane, so confused now that they are calling good evil and evil good. And no, they got good sense, and they are making people who are, oh my God, confused, gender confused, and agree with the insanity. We making folk crazy. We have created in this place called America, praise God, a breeding ground for every unclean thing under the sun, every defiled thing. We agree with it. We give place to the devil. Paul tells us in Ephesians 4, don't give place to the devil. Don't let him live on your property. Don't let him live in the camp, or don't let him live in the shed. Don't let him sit in your car. Don't let him ride with you. Don't let him drive. Don't let him be your friend, because he going to do you in. Don't sleep with the enemy. Don't talk with snakes. Don't let snakes talk with you. And people are fellowshipping with evils like nothing, never before. They're speaking from all kind of out of portals, out of dimensions and realms, through little devices such as what I'm holding in my hand, my cell phone. I have the ability to turn it on. This is the key. The key, all I got to do is mash the button, and it'll open up a door, and I can see worlds, the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, which comes with temptations, which comes with bribery, which comes with delusions. And if your mind is not sound enough and full of the word, you will be one that's confused today. You will be of those, as Paul said in Ephesians 4, of children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Everything you hear, you believe it or partly believe it. You know, you don't know what to believe, because delusions is here. God has said, release strong delusion. Praise the Lord. On them that reject truth. So when you reject truth, you're a despiser of truth, hate of truth. So what do? You go into delusion. You go under the administration of liars, of false prophets. Praise God. The fallen angels can tell you anything. You believe their side of the story about the fall and why they were there telling this lie. And I've heard of those who have walked with the fallen in the celebrity realm or in the rap world, and they talk about their privy to be in these occultic meetings, how these entities come and telling them how heaven was theirs and they were cast out, and it was God is an evil spirit and Jesus is an evil spirit, and they conquered and cast them out. So now they're trying to raise up an army on earth so they can go and dethrone the heavens. They just trying to find a way to get to the north, where God's throne is seated in the northern rim, praise God, of the universe. And we know it's there in the north, and the greatest of the glory of God, the being of God himself, sits in the north. Because I was reading again this morning to refresh my mind of the 75th division of Psalms and verses, I believe it's 7 and 8, where he said, now God is the judge. And we know that promotion coming. He the one set up kings and take down kings, right? He high and he fire folks. And some of them don't even, they fired and don't even know it. Still holding office and wearing titles. They don't even qualify for God or already have demoted them or taken them down. He said, but promotion coming neither from the west or the east or the south. So what other element of the hemisphere that's left out? That's the north. And they look at Satan in the 14th chapter of Isaiah in verses 14 and said how he was cast out, as Revelation 12 describes it, that Satan was cast out from heaven and cast down to the earth. And he was mad, and he's still mad. He's still mad. So he was foolish to think that he could overthrow God and that he was going to win. And boy, and a judgment came with it. Now, he might have thought, well, I can make this mistake. I'm going to see if I can overthrow God and I'm going to do this. And, you know, maybe I'll get repentance like the people on earth. And he probably really just tried that little job, that little scheme that he could get forgiveness and he'll be forgiven in it because he tried it. But no, you in heaven, you in a perfect place, and you do that, there was no room for repentance. He was the first reprobate, the first one. The Spirit of God departed from him. God no longer strives with him. Oh, he permitted him to do some things because the scripture said that God created the wicked for the day of evil, and he's considered wicked. And anyone who know the truth and do it not and rebel against it and go against the scriptures is considered wicked. When you know it and you have experienced it, you're like Hebrews 6 describing. You have felt the powers of the world to come. You have tasted the good word of God. You have been made partakers of it. Heavenly gift. I mean, you've experienced shouting and the presence of God on you. People say, ooh, I got goosebumps. And, ooh, I felt some moment. It was like fire. It was like heat or something was on me. I couldn't help myself. You felt the powers of the word of God. God proved to you I'm real. I'm like fire. There is a power greater than you or yourself. And then you taste the good word of God. You've been privileged to sit in a church that teaches sound word and, oh, a good word. It grows you and develops you. It has made you wise unto salvation and calls you and thrusts you in to keep following God and to know him, wanting you to know him and making you want more. Oh, that tastes good. Boy, that sermon was good. And every time you hear a certain person preaching or teaching, and you know they got that kind of word, boy, you run to that table. You run to that revival. You run to that prayer meeting. You run because you know you're going to get something that open up your spiritual palate, your tongue, and make you want more. And it's gourmet, it's angels' food. This stuff we're privileged to that the angels can't even figure out. God, why you're mindful of them? What is this that you're giving them? And some of them know it and still rebel and go in the way of the flesh and go after Satan. Praise God. And so God deemed them good. But a sinner hadn't experienced that. They had, you know, I've run into people all the time through years of ministering on the tent preaching, street preaching, open air services, and one-on-one witnessing, and people, they want to know about the power of God, and they want to know what's real. And so now the devil knows that his time is short, and now you see the direction that the countries are going in, all the masses of people, it is determined, will be determined by world leaders. So right now, all of the world leaders are being measured again. They're on the scales, and some of them have made their final consummation and their final decisions that we are no longer walking with God. We are no longer agreeing with God in this city. No rural areas around us. You better not have a King James Version. You better not have a Septuagint Bible. You better not preach the whole counsel of God. You better not preach against our newborns, our new creation, or this third image that we are bringing into play out of the LGBTQ community. You better not preach against sin. You better not tell the people evil is bad. Tell them evil is good. It's all right to be evil. It's all right to be dark. It's all right to worship Lucifer. Praise God. And tell them that they are God. And so they have created laws to the fact that I was looking over the several days, past 3 days, on this new article that's on CNN article, Fox News article, and various media articles and announcements saying that how China, who has stepped forth, who is called the dragon in our day and time, has already began. They say they are rewriting the Bible. And they think it's that easy. It's that easy that you think you can do that. You want to rewrite or twist history. You don't know nothing about God. You're guessing. You listen to the devil. And you want to rewrite the Bible. And then through California, they made it illegal to have a King James Version. No stores are allowed to sell King James Version. Once that we know was the most original, closest to the truest translation. They are not sold in the stores or the Bible bookstores anymore. They've made it illegal, and it's going across the 50 states. And, you know, once they comply, then usually it befalls the other states, just like it was when the Queen James Version went forth. And then when they passed a law in California that gay history is going to be taught, but you can teach black history, but you can teach gay history. Now, if you're going to start with gay history, you need to start with its origins. You need to start with Sodom and Gomorrah, because there's no real record, detailed record of it on how they got started or when it got started, of the spirit of uncleanness and same-sex unions. All we see is that it was so, and not much was recorded about it unless you're privy to find books where, and others who had detailed it in their writings where they entered into various cities as they went around discovering other people, places, and things, and find out that these people all in same sex, this, that, and other. But God gathered them all in one place. He knew how to move people all in one city. And they think, oh, we're going over here because we're going to be ourselves and we're going to do our thing. Like the new city they built in Florida, a whole new city. They're like David, Florida, the whole new nudist church. They sang and preach and sang in the choir and danced with all but naked. And then all people wear anything is maybe if they got babies in there, they have Pampers or pull-ups on. Praise God. And then you got a whole city down there in around Miami and them area where they have built a whole city. So the cry of Sodom is going up again and all over the world. And so we see all these various things taking place where Satan is enforcing an image change. Shifting the image. And I'm in the Word of God because I'm quoting scriptures as I go. And I had something I was going to open up to, but look like I feel the Lord is leading me to just flow as is. And so there would be a few quotations of where I'm coming from. And you can re-listen to this teaching or find some kind of way to get back to these scriptures that will that coincide with where what we are trying to build here on this foundation of teaching and looking at time running out, not only for the fallen angels or for the devil and his angels, how John described it in Revelation 12, and he saw that war in heaven, and there was a war in heaven, and Michael and his angels fought against the devil and his angels, and they did not win. They were kicked out. And they were cast down to the earth, and then there Job, and I heard a young man told me today, called me today out of Gainesville, elder, and he was saying, oh, we in chapter 4, Revelation, the church, leave out of chapter. I said, but see, the scripture is mixed up, and it's not going to be in that order how you see them, because we don't leave out to the last trump. Say, well, it's at 4, the last trump. Well, you go with us to say, talks about the last trump. But looking at all the things that happened while the church is still on earth. We are still on earth till the last trump. And now everything in between, we're going to see it. We're going to face it. Some things will have an effect on us somewhat. And then some things are commanded not to touch us. Praise God, because of that mark. And that seal before the loosening of things out of the underworld, coming out from underneath the earth, out of the bottomless pit of those who have the keys, and they already, the keys is already in the hands of the fallen angels and their children, in which is CERN is a big key to the underworld. And then you got heart piercing the those entities that are still bound above the heights of the clouds and their craft. They are piercing it back so that it can come in. And now you're seeing them in our night space among the other solar shining objects. We see them in the night in the exosphere. And so there are a lot of things happening, y'all, at one time. And, boy, you may get a little dizzy and your neck get tired because everywhere you look, there's something going on. But the most important thing is to be aware of everything that's moving, living, speaking, and have its being, paying attention. It is required that you pay attention. Pay attention. Study everything. Enter life. Enter your day as sitting in classroom. Are just a proof of God showing you that my word is passing by you. Prophecy, this is passing by you. God is accelerating prophecy while we are sitting back looking for various things to happen, and which many things have already passed us by. Even the animal kingdom has told us we're in reverse now. We are going counterclockwise, not clockwise, and going counterclockwise. The sheep that went in the circle for 12 days, praise God, six going forward, six going back, mean that which is past is now coming. Everything that those who lived in the past saw, we are getting ready to see those things and face them or reface them in our day. And so what we're looking now at where the world leaders are going with this thing. You better pay attention to those who lead. You got to have an understanding. You got to be in that word. And if you ever needed a Bible, want to get a real key to ever, and now they have mastered it and manipulated it. So now even the King James Version stuff been taken out. I had bought a version one time, it didn't even have God in it. It didn't even have Jesus. It had higher power and all it for to be a King James. It didn't say New King James. It said King James. So you can't holler, trust any version. And then you got the Septuagint, which is one of the old written ones now besides the Ethiopian Bible. They have the oldest. They hold the oldest scribe of the written word of God. And a lot of them was scripturally based. The ones we have today, modern ones we have today, comes out of the Ethiopian base of the scriptures. Praise God. But we see here in the word of God, let me tell you something. I want to talk to you today that Satan is coming. If I had to put a title on it today, it would be Satan is coming. The devil is coming. Now, people say, well, I thought he was always here. Well, he's been walking to and fro up in the earth, and we keep restraining him, but he is getting ready to come in his full stature. He's coming, him and his son. He will stand with him and behind him as he has been given authority to rule. He is mimicking, mocking, and duplicating the same key kingdom attributes and ways and agendas of protocol as the church does. He and his fallen angels is to mimic, copy, and duplicate to bring so much confusion that people wouldn't know the difference, especially those who don't read the word of God at all, let alone talking about reading. They won't even just play a Bible tape and listen to a whole chapters and books, just play it over and over again till it seals itself in your memory bank, in the archives of the brain's housing or the soul's housing that hold these informations and divine revelations. And so Satan is coming. Oh, yes. He's coming with great wrath. The world is leaving the wrath of men. That's why we see wars among men and kingdoms of men, because you're looking at the wrath of men, their attitude toward each other. praise God, amen, and be mad with each other. Or you stole my woman, I'm going to steal yours. You stole a piece of land, I'm going to steal yours. I'm going to get you back for what you did. I'm going to get you back for what you said. I heard what you said about me. And all these needless wars and foolish wars, you know, child's play among leaders. And then Solomon warned us, he said, woe unto a kingdom or a land when you child is a kid, is a child. When your king is a child, I mean, he say, when you're born to you, I feel, in other words, he said, I'm feeling sorry for you when your king is a child. Then that rule is so immature, so childish, so unstable, so unlearned, so unskillful, so haughty, so lofty, so narcissistic, so arrogant, won't listen, and just a big waterhead baby, just got a bunch of knowledge puffed up and put a title on them that they didn't even qualify for, but they was thrust into and making an unholy mess, and now we see unholy seeds everywhere, S-E-E. You got to see this. But in St. John, the 14th chapter, verse 30, Jesus was talking to his disciples at his goings and comings, his to and fro up and down in the earth and ministry, praise God, and even coming upon his persecution, his erection on the cross, and his ascension down into the earth, and just talking about his life, death and burial and resurrection, and upon his rising and even at upon his death, he told his disciples, because he didn't leave them ignorant concerning happenings or what was coming, the visitations or voices. He tried to heal them as much as possible, but they did, afterwards didn't learn the importance of having the Spirit of God to understand or to maintain understanding. And then Paul told us in 1 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter, that no man could understand the things of the Spirit of God save, except, in other words, saved is a revised way of saying, except the Spirit of God be in him. Now, and then he told us in St. John, the 3rd chapter, when God Jesus was talking to Nicodemus about seeing and understanding things of the kingdom, and he told him, he said, Nicodemus, if a man is not born again, truly changed now, he can't even enter, or nor see. You can't even enter the kingdom of God unless you've been washed by the word, been sanctified, or baptized. If a man not born of the water and the Spirit, you got to have a new spirit in order to understand the things of the spirit realm. That which is invisible to you now, when you get the Spirit of God, will become visible to you, and then you will go and move throughout the realms of men, the kings of men, with understanding because of that Spirit in you that is of God, that is supreme, that's all-seeing and all-knowing, and he is only going to tell and reveal and say what he heard the Father said in the heavens. He will say it unto a people that is of the kingdom, you know, because if you don't have the Spirit of God, as Romans 8:9 say, now if a man have not the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So you don't belong to the kingdom, so you won't be privileged, anointed, to hear the things that you need to hear that's necessary for your survival, for equipment, or for weaponry to continually release to you to endure to the end, to make it to the end, something you're going to need to fight to the end, a revelation, a understanding, praise God, by word to make it to the end. You're going to need the Spirit of God, but he say you must be born again. You got to get saved for real. You can't play like it, act like it, just say you are because somebody say you saved. You know the life you live in. You know the way you take. You know what you're doing. You know what you have done. Praise God. But he say you got to be born of the water, and that water twofold. You know, God patterned the word and styled the word as a type of a water because it cleanses you. And he even told us, David told us in the song, that wherewith, how do a young man or how do any of us cleanse our ways or change our ways by taking heed to the word of God. You got to live the word of God. You got to do what it says. You can't pick out what you want. Amen. And live by that. Well, I ain't going to step in my church on this, and I ain't going to do this, and I'm just going to do that. And it don't take all that. That's for the old, and this is for the new testament, new covenant. No, the Bible didn't say that. No, it didn't say that. We didn't have to live by the old. He said, what I say on the one, I say on the all. And that's still your schoolmaster. That's still for your learning. That's still for your education. That's still a divine revelation. There's still information. There's still survival skills. There are tools that you're going to need that when you over in the new age, when you see the old merging with the new, you will have understanding. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. But listen, the devil is coming. They can't wait to introduce Lucifer. They've been talking with him, chilling, partying. He's been giving them parties. Oh, these fallen ones, they've been having parties for all the celebrities and all those who are covenant with that kingdom of darkness. Say, who, God? No, I'll serve you. I'm not going to lose my billions and my millions. Talking about some God. No, I'm going to stay with what I can see and what I can feel, what I can eat and smell and what I can taste. Praise the Lord, and what that's going to bring me pleasure, multiplication and increase. I don't care if it is temporal. I'll take my chances with the temporal, and that's the attitude of those, the dangers of the Bible saying that, the rich man have a hard time walking away just to receiving the greatest riches that anyone could obtain. And it's the spiritual element of things that is an eternal weight that's going to last. Ain't no moth and no rust. Nothing can destroy what you're building up in the spirit realm. Nothing can touch that you've trusted in God's care. You gave it to him. Nothing can come and take it out of his hand, what you've committed into his hand and given to him. Praise God. So you need to stick with that. But today we want to say the devil is coming, and Jesus said, and I'm going to go right on through these scriptures so we can get back with Apostle Calendar. Praise God. In St. John, the 14th chapter, Jesus talking to, in verse 30, talking to his disciple of beforehand of his suffering, and then afterwards, the devil that's coming before. And what would happen afterwards. He was trying to give them a brief description of this face-to-face comeback of the spiritual confrontation that they weren't privileged to see. They would only hear it by word. He would describe it by word, but their eyes weren't yet open because they had not received that spirit. Saint John, the 3rd chapter, talk about being born again of the water. The water means you're going to need that word to begin to go in and start making you free. That's a washing, a sweeping through the innermost sanctum of your soul. And then the baptism, the final burial of the old ways, the old you. And then he said you got to be born of the spirit. You got to have a new spirit within your spirit. Get rid of the devil and his angels or the unclean spirit that you have in you that Jesus say he dwell in you. And when he is cast out and you set your will against it, say, I don't want this no more. I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm free indeed. I renounce you. And he have to go. You have evicted him. And praise God. And he got to go. And so you are left polished and cleaned up. And you're waiting for the Holy Ghost, the Spirit to come in you. And there's a power when he come in you. Amen. And gives you power over all the power of the devil. So there's no reason to be dethroned or to fall. Amen. That spirit is able to keep you from falling. But you got to get a new spirit that comes in your spirit. As St. John 15 chapter and 16 chapter describe, the spirit of grace, the spirit of God come. He dwelleth in you. The real you is the spirit. And you got that twofold mantle there working. Your spirit agreeing with God, your will fusing God, and the Holy Ghost is coming in to give you power over the devil. And so you being born of the water, you got to keep washing, stay in that word to stay cleansed, to keep the filthiness out of your skirts, out of your garments. Praise God, because the world is always laying a pattern of filth, because America is becoming a breeding ground for every unclean thing under the sun has been approved and everything against God. And what else can you call it that's running the nation when they do that? Now, you know that evil is taking over this country, and we're restraining a lot of things, but there's some things there's no turning. There's some things must run their course. But because you don't see it turning or changing, just throw your hands up, say hallelujah anyhow, because there's a reason for that. The things that can be changed will change. The things that you can't, don't worry about it, because it's been set. It's been set, and that is what it's supposed to do. And there's some things that's unchangeable by us. Praise God, and we have only been anointed to change the things that's possible and yet redeemable. But Jesus said in John 14:30, he told his disciples after them and demonstrating the spirit and power and telling them all the things that he've heard his father say, he said, and showing them how real gifts operate and people getting healed. They saw real signs in one another, not just make-believe and guessing. Jesus told them, out of all I'm doing and I'm saying, he said, the devil, the one who don't like it, the one who put the world in this condition, the one who has weakened the nation, as Isaiah 14 described, say, Lucifer, he weakens the nations. He weakened you. He the one that makes you weak, not God. Praise God. And the only way you can make yourself weak, you fast a little bit and you go long fast, then you get a little weak, but your spirit gets strong. But Lucifer comes to weaken you, to break your will, your stamina, to break your back so that he can have place, amen, and that he can take over your territories. He got to bind the strong man. He got to put some snares down. He got to throw some yokes up there. Praise God, and some fetters and some chains out, some temptations to take you down, something you really like, something that really smells good to you, something that really looks good to you, something that really tastes good that's forbidden to eat by certain of us, praise God. And all he wants you to do is disobey one time so you can give place to his entity. And that they can gain re-interest. But Jesus said, hereafter, now there are things that's coming. I'm saying so much. I'm trying to give you all that I can give you and tell you all that I can. I hope you're hearing me. I hope you're listening. He's talking to his disciples. Listen to me now. He said, now there's some things coming. I'm trying to prep you. Now, all that word that he gave them, now immediately they couldn't comprehend or understand to after the Holy Ghost came. He quickened it and made it alive. But he said, I'm giving you some things that's eternal, and eternal words sealed themselves in the archives of your mind, probably for a later date or later time. But he said, but from here afterwards, in that 14th chapter, he said, I will not talk much with you. There was a time that Jesus was very talkative, because he was trying to inform them, trying to teach them, trying to make them wise of visitations, of comings, of sayings, and knowing the voice of God. And this is what the Father says. So if you hear that, you know that's the Father. If it's contrary to that, you know it's not the Father. I want you to recognize other voices. He said, I'm not going to talk much after a while. And, you know, we got to become accustomed to doing that. And there'll be times I've passed through those emotions myself where I talk a lot and teach it. And boy, I can talk about the word of God, but there are days where I'm speechless. There is no conversation. There is no communication. And not that I'm making myself that way, but it's the Spirit of God ushering me into quietness for whatever reason. Sometimes I get it then, and sometimes it's later that I get an understanding of why I had to be quiet. Maybe something you need to hear in the atmosphere, in the airspace. Maybe it's something you need to hear, whether it's in frequencies, whether it's howling from the animals, some type of voice, some type of sound would measure out in that atmosphere. But he said, I'm not going to talk much. I'm going to have to meditate. I'm going to have to focus on me and purpose. Amen. I got to He said, in other words, you can let them know I'm going to be quiet. I'm not going to do a whole lot of talking after this, so you better catch me during this time frame. While I'm talking, listen now. Y'all listening is what he's saying. Y'all listen. Listen, I know I'm doing a lot of talking, and they probably wonder why. When is the Lord going to talk? Is he going to teach us day and night? Do we have to always talk and quote scriptures and say stuff during eating, or when we're on the boat fishing, or as we walk and always talk and talk? And they didn't know the advantage they had and the glory of those talks. They didn't know the weight of those talks, the significance of those talks. But Jesus said, the time is coming now that I'm going to have to draw back a little. It won't be that I'm not with you or something is wrong with me or between you and I. But he said, but hereafter, he said, I won't talk much with you, for the prince of this world is coming. The devil is coming. Now, he was getting ready to enter into his death, his purpose of coming. And enter into that temptation. He said, I'm getting ready to enter for in my purpose of why I came, not only for you, but he came to that all men might be saved. That's God's will. Now they have to accept that. He ain't gonna make people be saved. But he said, but the prince of this world is coming, and who is the one that wear that specific title? He's talking about Lucifer. We've known him as Lucifer. Isaiah describes him as Lucifer in the garden. He's called the serpent, and then he has many titles: the dragon, the prince of the power of the air, the prince of this world, the devil. He's called the dragon. He's called the beast, and he has many names. He's called the deceiver. He's called the liar. He's called the seducer. And praise God. He's the prince of darkness. Oh, the lusting one. Praise God. Oh, the contrary one, the hater of God. He has many titles. Praise God. He is called many things, he say, but he coming. And out of all that you know and all that you see and hear, know that whatever level of word you at, wherever you are in your status in the kingdom, in your development, in your growth, the devil is going to come. You're going to have to be tried by this word. You're going to have to be made. Either it's going to make you or break you or drive you or draw you. You're going to have to be tried by some entity who helps along with our making for the perfecting of the saints. Yes, evil is coming, and it ain't all good, but it's for your good. It's for the perfecting. Praise God, if we just see it the way God said it. But he said, they told his disciples, the prince of this world coming. And guess what? He came to him. We saw that temptation in Matthew 4, and all through all the gospel we see all the trials and the temptations and the confrontations of evil in every form, shape-shifting in every way, and all of the voices, the criticisms, the mockers, the scoffers, the contradiction of sinners, him coming in many forms, many words, many disguises. He cometh. He cometh transforming, acting though he's for me and he's really against me. He said, I got to be quiet. I got to be extra careful, extra vigilant, paying attention, because I know this spirit is coming. He sees that I'm not like any other born into this realm that have passed through the gate of a woman to enter this realm, and there's something different about me. He knows this, and so we got to figure out who this is. Who is this coming? Who is this coming to take off all the diseases we have put upon men? Who is this that's coming to restore the insane, the loony tune, or somebody who's lost their mind, and he come to give them their mind back, to restore, to set the captive free? Who is this? Y'all need to check that out. Who is that doing that? And see, God sealed those things from him, and Paul described that in 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. He said that the princes of this world, he said, had they known the purpose and could they don't know everything. The devil don't know everything. He don't know everybody. He knows something powerful about you. It's something special on you. You see the illumination. He see the intolerance of evil and darkness and disease upon the people. and the grievance that you have and the ability to fast and to pray and you standing in resistance and that, be looking and see no place, nowhere, no lust on him at all, no desire of a woman on him at all. And he won't give in to the homosexuals. He won't let a man catch his eye, a woman, neither pedophilia. He won't look at a child. He is not intrigued by any lust we before him. We can't buy him out with bribes. And they want to know what kind of person this is, have the ability to stand against us or to resist us. All men love the flesh. This is probably the discussion among the fallen angels and those who were tempted. Everybody like the flesh. Everybody like a little sex here and there. Everybody like a little drink or a little smoke or a little snort here. But this one here is in resistance to it all. This one here, see, he's sinless. He will not give heed to us. He won't yield to us. He is not desirous of us in darkness. He don't even give place to us or even talk to us. This man called Jesus, he rebukes us. His energy just standing there in quietness is a rebuke. Praise God. And the resistance in his body is a rebuke. You don't have no place in my bones. Now, any layer of my skin, there is no place for you, devil. And that's the way Jesus stood. Praise God. And Jesus knew he was coming. He was quite aware of timing. He was quite aware of that which is ascending and descending, that was coming and going. And he told them, whether they was well understood or not, he said, the prince of this world is coming. The one who Adam gave the world to is coming, because I'm different from anybody else. Right now, y'all don't even know your visitation. They weren't even aware of their visitation. But he says he's coming, but guess what Jesus say? Oh, the devil is coming, but he has nothing. In that same verse of St. John 14:30, and he has nothing in me. There ain't no lust in me, no adultery, no fornication. I don't want to go away from God. I'm not thinking outside of God. I'm in the mind of my Father. I'm only going to say what he said. I'm going to go where he said. I'm going to do it timely. I know my time. I know my numbers. I know my days of number. He had the purpose in mind. Now, son, when you go down, you got 33 years to take care of this. 33 years care of this, and that's, I guess that's why secret society love it so, and they celebrate 33 because they say, oh yeah, the devil thought, and they didn't know that God planned it this way. We killed them, and we're going to use that name as the highest degree because we're the killers, the top assassins. We killed Jesus at 33, so we're going to wear this number. We're going to glory in this number. We're going to set this numbers in light so everybody know we believe we are part of the killers. We are the offsprings of the killers. Our fathers had partaker in the bloodshed of the Messiah. We stopped him, but Paul pointed it out in 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, that had the princes of this world known, and we know it's more than one prince, Satan being the ultimate one because they followed him. He was the top dog and caused all of them to fall, all of them who had prince positions and over other privy to be over other of God's creation to rule in various parts of heaven and in the domain of men's kingdom. He said the princes of this world, had they known Jesus' purpose, and it shows you right there, the devil don't know everything. He's not all-knowing. He's not all-ever-present. He's not everywhere at one time. Amen. He has one space, and so he know he's limited in hindsight, foresight, insight. He can't see or hear unless there's a continuation of those who keep their body covenants and live in the prophetic realm, live as seers, they spy not our liberty, our studies to see what is God saying to the prophetess, what is God saying to the prophet, what is he showing them, try to look through our mirrors. When we open the mirror and see the reflection, God, give us a quickie vision, open vision, our deep sleep vision. There's a quickie. Amen. And you know, God got a way of still, even though I open my book to a divine revelation, looking in a word that I preach over and over again and didn't see what I see today, saw yesterday, because that word is always giving birth to something fresh and new. And so the devil will look in and spy out. He's studying everybody that's in his saved now. But he's looking at those prophets that's been hid and hiding themselves and keeping their bodies in sanctification and honor. He's spied out my room. He's been trying to look through my windows. He's trying. When I open my Bible, it's the mirror. I'm looking, and he's looking. Sometimes he can't see me when I stand as a mother, see my glory other than an earthly one, but he can't see heaven's glory and that that I've obtained. That's an eternal weight, praise God, when I'm studying. And I open up that word, and I look in the mirror. I see my glory. I see my level of living. I see how far I have come, and I'm walking in a glory. And when I open it, I can see me, the things that God has hidden from me, that was invested in me by him. I'm privy when I go in the word. I can see what I have obtained and what I must obtain. I got to keep pressing for to obtain by the word of God. And so the devil, he wants to spy out those who are maintaining the prophetic sight, that keeping their senses exercised to see both good and evil, to discern, to hear the voice of God, who can make the word of God plain, amen, who can preach a sanctified word, teach a sanctified word, bring the people into a glory, bring them to another level that can establish the people, that can settle them and perfect what's left that must be perfected, that when Jesus comes, we can present a glorious bride to the Lamb of God without a spot or wrinkle. And so he said, the prince of this world, the devil is coming. Amen. Now, he can't come all the time, but there's an appointed time, a numbered time that Satan will come. The devil is allowed to come, or other entities, to prove what is in our heart. As Deuteronomy 8, chapter 9, chapter say, God suffered us to hunger. He suffered us, praise God, to thirst. He suffered many things to come our way to prove what is in our heart, to prove whether we are going to stand or we are going to fall, praise God, or will we continue to follow his spirit or another spirit. But you better know the devil is coming. But this time, he's coming. God is allowing it because we're at the end of the age, and he is coming in his true form. We are going to see Lucifer as he really is. If I don't go to sleep and go on to paradise, the rest of them, and wait for the catching away to the heights of the clouds, but I pray to be standing alive and be one that don't taste death and be caught up alive to meet the Lord in the air. We will be privy, or privileged, to see the devil in his truest form. Isaiah said it in chapter 14. You need to read that whole chapter. And he said that the world is going to look on him and say, is this the man? Is this who wouldn't it cause the earth to tremble? Cause these unnecessary earthquakes and tremors, who created these evil technologies, these AI machines that shook the foundations of the earth now. Now, God can do it without the machines. He can shake it and move the earth where he wants. He said that in Isaiah 24, he was going to make the earth rock to and fro like a drunkard. You know, the devil always got to try to mimic and copy everything God say he going to do or what he's done. And you see it, and then Isaiah say, we're going to look on him and say, man, that's Lucifer. That's him. Probably going to laugh. You mean this is the one who shook nations, called men to tremble and fall, that brought men down from great thrones by hips and lips and finger tips, by twerkers, by a little powder substance, cigarette. Come on. Amen. This who brought this, who the
This who destroyed whole cities. This was called the mountains to move, to split the mountains, and then God still measured them even after the split. He's saying, the devil is coming, Jesus said, but he don't have nothing in me. When he stepped to me, ain't no, Jesus saying, ain't no sin in me. Ain't no desire in me to sin. It ain't no looking back in me. Ain't nothing in the world I want. I don't want anything outside of my Father, outside of kingdom things. I don't want to do anything to mess up the opportunity for all of these people who have been deceived on earth to be saved. I cannot make a mess. I cannot afford to stumble, to fall, to be entangled with the cares of this life, or to be overthrown by lust, because I want to make sure that these people have a way out. Jesus said, he ain't got nothing in me. Jesus said, ain't no sickness, ain't no disease in my bones. I don't have arthritis. I don't have high blood pressure. I don't have sugar diabetes. I don't have none of that. I don't have heart problems. I don't have liver problems. I don't have kidney problems. I don't have mind problems, psychological problems, physical problems, emotional problems. I don't have anything wrong with my spirit. Praise God. Jesus said, he has nothing in me. There's no lie in me. Everything that I say and everything you see I do, I'm demonstrating the power of God. That's what Jesus said. The devil don't have nothing. That's what he's mad about. When you keep moving in your consecration, when you keep fasting and praying, when everybody else get a glutton spirit, used to be 100 and something pounds, now 300, 400 pounds, they lost it. The devil stole it from him. Now they're beasts. Now they're full of viruses and bacteria and disease. Now they're on a timer that they're going to die before their time, and their organs are starting to begin to fail because they lost the ability to fast. They don't fast no more. You can't fast because the doctor done programmed you and done psyched you out and put you under a spell. Now you can't fast now. You cannot fast. You got to eat something now. You can't go without eating. You got to eat. Remember this. You got to eat or you're going to get sick. And you've been brainwashed. When you know, the devil know that we was entering this today, that we are face-to-face in a combat with entities that's only going to come out but by fasting and praying. And that's why then this prayerless, and you wonder why America and a lot of your churches have become a breeding ground for every unclean spirit under the sun, from the pulpit to the door, and a house of disease, not a house of healing, but a house of disease. Everybody on pharmaceutical potions. Everybody on some kind of potions, just recreating and giving birth to more offsprings of diseases. But Jesus saying the devil is coming, the prince of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me, and the world is preparing us to introduce him because the curtains, the veils, are getting ready to move, that we will see all of these beings that we've been preaching about for years in the church arena since the church was born at Pentecost, the day the church was born, the end began at time. And we are getting ready to see all of them in their truest form, how tall they are. Some of them say the angel's about 11 feet tall. And all of a lot of the military people that are exposing and telling the truth, and I say all of these angels, all of them black, all of them melanated. Somebody will say, oh, get in, go. No, it ain't got nothing to do with race thing. See, all of these angels are melanated. Praise Jesus. And Jesus said they're coming in the world. The stages are set. They lay in the red carpets of filthiness, the red carpets of devil worship, the red carpets of cannibalism. Eat children, eat babies. Taco Bell is full of homeless people passing through your tacos. And oh, boy. You got all of this stuff that God say don't eat,
This is what's on the devil does the opposite. God say, don't eat this. And the devil say, yeah, on my side of kingdom, you can eat anything you want. Even though it's going to make you sick and you could die, but eat it. Eat what you want. Do what you want. You can like what you want. Have sex with who you want. Go where you want. Ain't no limitation. Say what you want. Cuss all you want. Rebel all on my side. Just be yourself here. Just be yourself. That's what the devil is saying. He said he's coming. The unholy trinity is already set, but I mean all everything, Satan's church, his bride is already set. People have made their final consummation, final decisions with their tattoos and all the markings and showing allegiance to these fallen ones. And they are declaring, this is who I serve, and I'm proud of it everywhere I go. This is who I serve. This is who I want to be with. This is who I believe in. I believe in evil and not good, and then it's vice versa. But Jesus said when he come, he has nothing in me. How many can say that today? How many can say that Satan has nothing in them? Nobody can say, I've been sleeping around. Somebody just brought it to me. Yeah, a couple of weeks ago, say, sister, I don't know if you heard it say, but you know there's a word out, and I partly believe. I said, you partly believe something said about me? I said, why are you just telling me? Child, they saying that you all in the clubs and you drinking and smoking. Prophetess Kirksey ain't saved. I say, where in the world they get that from? I say, where did they get that from? Praise God. I say, I ain't in no club. I'm not in that club. Praise God. Sorry about that. I had this preacher beeping in on the line. He had no idea that I'm in the on the radio right now. He is one of the elders I was telling y'all about some time ago that I was privy to meet, and he had been working in the organ donor center, and that's when I started getting understanding on the revelation of what happens after death in the hands of various people who sit in the office or under the business of morticians and all other things they do the after death. And he was talking about how the government is wanting so many thousands and thousands of pounds of skin, human skin, and we know what they're doing with it now. And that was him beeping in. Praise God, he called me this morning and wanted some understanding concerning some things seen, and he didn't quite understand and need scripture to line up with that. Praise God. But we thank God. And I hadn't talked to him in a few years and just got back up today, found out where I was and wanted to know. See, now that woman of God knows, so let me call her. So he's calling me back now. Praise God. Amen. And I'll get with him. But glory to God. Listen, the devil, they are preparing, as Jesus said, the prince of this world is coming. And when he's coming to kill, steal, and to destroy. He have laid it where he's going to do just what the scripture said he would do, put many to death, put many in prison, put them on, cause them to go to the guillotine. They already got, I'm told, 19 states have already have changed their death penalty. They all setting up guillotines. They're preparing for what God has declared, the end with the beginning. With the beginning, as he started heaven and earth, he started telling you how the end was going to be, why he was creating. Praise the Lord. And so he said, the prince of this world is coming. Don't you know the devil is coming? And the ways, now he can't, he's just one entity, one being. He can't come to me personally unless he just decide to fly it. I'm going to go take me to that address and see me, but has spyware privy to listen in on our homes through your cell phones. Even if you turn them off, the devices are still at a level that they can hear through your smart televisions. Praise God. In the homes, they got them on the poles and on the trees and in the forests. And this is how he is bringing him to be declared as all-seeing through temporal things, through artificial things, as he said. The God being all seeing, all knowing, he's in the heavens, and God see everything. His eyes are in every place. And so Jesus is saying the devil is coming. The devil is coming, and
He has nothing in me. Nothing in me. And we need to work on that. If we are not in that place today, if we find ourselves still dibbling and dabbling, doing things and touching things and handling things and eating things that we should not, you need to hurry up and squash that stuff. You need to stop it. Amen. And go on to get your vessel in sanctification and honor where you can be a blessing to the kingdom, where you can help men and women get free from these entities that's now ruling in the kingdoms of men beside men. And Jesus said, he has nothing in me, St. John 14:30. And then look, with John the Revelator, he even expressed 1 John 5:18, say, now there's a specific place that you get to. Certain level of fasting, years up under your belt, resisting the devil, and drawing not to God. Drawing not to God James chapter 1. Resist the devil and draw not to God. Resist the devil and the flesh and the world and get closer to God. Get close to God. Get close to God. Get close to God. And that's how you resist the devil. How do you get close to God? Stay in the word every day. Get with that word. Get beside the word. Have it beside you. Have it in your heart. Have it in your front lips, on your eyes. Put it in front of your eyes. Put it in remembrance. Look at it. Gaze upon it. Study it. Praise God. But John said in 1 John 5:18, he say, and we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. Meaning you ain't willfully sinning. You know it's wrong to do a thing and go on and do it anyway just because you can. You know it's wrong to do it. You know it's wrong to say it. You know it's wrong to touch certain things. Certain things are unlawful to us. Obedience in the world is necessary. They do it and they say, well, we could do what we want. We ain't under no boundaries of God. We got rid of God's laws and statutes in our marketplace. We showed God, we don't want you here. We don't want you in our state. We don't want you in our courthouse. You see, we remove all your plaques of your commandments and your rules. We remove all of that, say, you have no place here. We have loose, as the second division song say, your cords from us. He say, but we know whosoever is born of God. We need to be born of God, pass through the mind of God, get in the mind of God, the thoughts of God. Say, sin it not. When you have the mind of God and think on the scripture, you won't sin. And I find out the best of my day goes perfect so well every morning in Central America here in Tennessee. I start my day 5 a.m. before the sun rises, at the going down of the moon. I give God my time, an hour. Sometimes we go over more longer than that. So it depends on the emotions of the people, where they're at, what they're feeling at that time in the morning. We pass the prayer, different ones pray. And I get up and I give my will to God. And I grab hold of his, and my day goes so well. And then at the end of the day, I won't have to be counting up all the things I did wrong and have to be laying the foundation of repentance again over the same thing. I have sense enough not to do this, that, and so. And he say, you born of God, sin not. We don't willfully sin. You know something wrong. You go on and do it in any way. When you're born of God, when you truly change, you don't go back to that old stuff. And look at what he said. But he that is begotten of God, keepeth himself. Now, he's talking about Christ and that example that he set. And Paul said in the book of Hebrews that Jesus died to bring many sons into the same glory, the same level of living, the same realm of power and authority. He died to bring us from being born to begotten. You moved into sonship. You moved to a place where you're fulfilling your obedience. Your purpose, you're not living to the will of men or the will of flesh or your own will. You're living to the will of God. That's what you rise to do every day. That's what you get up to do, the will of God. And God knows we have other and certain obligations. You know, I have to still clean. Though I don't have a husband, I still cook. At various times, I have my baby son here with me now, living with me, and he cooks. Oh, good cook. And I didn't know he was watching me that much, but he's a great cook. And I glory in that. And there's days I cook, and there's days we may get something out, and days I fast. I said, son, don't cook for me today. Just cook for yourself. I don't want anything today, you know. And so I have other glories, natural glories I have to tend to. I still have my chickens. I have my shepherds, and I have five German shepherds. I have to see about them daily. I have to see about my chickens, and I have my yard, flowers, and I got a huge garden out there. You know, and so there are other obligation glories, and this is in a reasonable realm. And God knows that we have other obligations, and you're doing it within righteousness. I'm striving lawfully. I'm still abiding in my calling when I do these things, you know. And so, but when we are moving from being born of God in the early stages of development, and we're going on to maturity, we're moving on to perfection, where we are truly leaving the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the deceitful walking in the pride of life. We're no longer living, as Colossians says, to the will of men or the lust of the flesh, but to the will of God. And this is the place that Jesus died to bring all of us into this same stage of development. And I realize everybody won't get there and won't have time to experience all the manifold glories and gifts and callings and virtues. Amen. But thank God for where you are. Just don't willful sin. Don't do the thing that can cause a power shortage in your life, that will cut your anointing, that will clip your anointing, that will entangle your anointing, your ability to free others and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan back to God. He say, but when you're begotten of God, when you move into sonship, you keep yourself first. You ain't telling nobody to do something that you ain't doing yourself. You learn how to live right. You live right. You set an example. He say that guy, you keep yourself. Amen. You ain't tempted by hips, lips, and fingertips. You ain't tempted by to have a mistress outside of your marriage, but you love your own wife. And as Solomon say, you be satisfied with the breast of your own wife, or with the level of loving with your own wife, and experience the fullness of all of the glories of loving, having a spouse that's one with your body, soul, and spirit. But we are moving. We got to move and hurry up and move from the place of falling and failure and oppression and discussion and being depressed. He say you move into a place, oh, that the wicked one touches him not. Move to a place like Jesus said in that same chapter of St. John, the 14th chapter, verse 30, you're moving to a place where the wicked one touch you not. Don't be putting yourself in position to be tempted. You know you're going down there like they got this place here called Hooters, and you know you had a problem with lust in the world, and you're doing all you can. You ain't going to bed with nobody, having no wife, no mistress or woman outside of your marriage, but you sure make it a business, some of you, and you go down there and sit in Hooters restaurant with them girls having them hot pants, them daisy deuce, where you can look at all the hips and rump roast you can. And it's the same thing, because the Bible said, if a man even look on a woman, you already done committed to lust. So don't put yourself in a position to be tempted or to be brought out of the glories that you've been ordained for. Move to a place that the wicked one touches you not. Don't put yourself in position to tell a lie or to steal or to be killed, or to be destroyed, or to sin, or to lose all those years of suffering and fasting and praying and buffeting your flesh. Amen. Obeying God, and then you throw it away for a minute's orgasm. You throw it away just for a shotgun, a pull off of a cigarette, or a hit of crack.
and you know that entity that had your body before, and he's gone out of his house, he's sitting longing for it, and he's just sitting somewhere on chill mode, just waiting for a way for the other seven to help you to commit sin so he can get back in and take them in and all them house you, and you'd be worse than the first. And so we're moving, y'all. We're moving. We're in the kairos. God is moving. We're moving with God, following the Spirit of God, looking at the Word in its expression and showing us the path to take, that we can move to a place that the wicked one touches us not. Move to the place where the devil can't accuse you of nothing. Keep your life clean. Keep your life right. Keep your hands off of another man's wife or woman or their daughter or the son. Amen. Let that die. Let Uzzah die so you can see the Lord. Let Uzzah die. Amen. Resist the devil. Resist the devil. And then lastly in this scripture here, I was looking at now, you know, if you keep playing with the devil, they say if you keep playing with a dog too long, he'll lick you in the mouth. You know, and when you start doing these things, you know the truth, and you go outside willfully, dibbling, dabbling because you can, and you think, oh, God gonna forgive me if I willfully. Well, the Bible said that'll remain a sacrifice for that sin. Now, you can ask for forgiveness and get it, but the consequences of it, you're going to have to suffer, bear those marks in your own body, whatever is attached to that adultery, that fornication, or that masturbation, or that pornography, or that necrophilia, or the incest, or the pedophilia, whatever is associated with the bestiality, whatever form of sin where you're joining yourself to a fallen entity that induces these levels of lust, you become one with it. But Jesus said you got to move to a place where the wicked one puts you not. Don't put yourself in a place to be tempted. Get away from temptation. Flee temptation. Flee youthful lust, the things that make you sin like a little child when you're a grown man, when you should be mature. You should be through with all of that. Love one woman. You don't want a million women and love them one way. You want a one woman that you can love a million ways. A thousand ways. Love that one woman. You it takes a lifetime to go through her, to go through him, to find his pleasure spot, the weaknesses or G-spots or whatever you. It's so much more that you can learn about each other. And Satan the one to come to divide. And now we're moving to a place now where, just like Paul said in 1 Corinthians 7, that the days are short now. Soon it's going to be as those that have husbands and wives, as though they have none, because you're going to be so busy running in fear, trying to stay safe and maintain and contain and retain all that you have obtained from fasting and praying and your suffering, and to make sure you don't lose it and throw it away for foolishness or temporary thrill. Praise God. Definitely won't lose it through over-suffeeding and gluttony. But the people just keep right on provoking God. They are troubling God. They are provoking. Now we're past the people of the scripture said. I'm going to read that, and I'm going to end and close on this note. Out of the 78th division of Psalms, when we are looking at in that entire chapter of the 78th division of Psalms, describes the experience of the children of Israel as they passed through the wilderness 40 years. Hold on. As they were passing, we have a detailed step-by-step passage from hills, valleys, mountains, through the rivers, the waters, detailed description of all the things that they went through as they was going through the wilderness. And during that course of going through, like some of us today, we go through, and sometimes we go through right, and sometimes we don't. Amen. Sometimes we make God proud, and sometimes we don't. And sometimes we grieve the Holy Ghost, and sometimes we, you know, bring pleasure to his watch and what he's trying to do
making happen, that we are yielding to him with the work that he was sent to do inside of us. And so we're living in a day where people are doing the same thing. History is repeating itself. And in this chapter of the 78th division of Psalms, I'm going to pull some verses out of various places. I'm going to read the 58th verse, where he says, "And they provoked him to anger with their high places, all the other things they acknowledge above him, and they moved him to jealousy with their graven images, the other things that you got before you that you rather worship and spend more time with than in the word or in prayer." And you know that jealousy, that's Quanah. Jehovah Quanah means the Lord is jealous over us. Which, how many times have you provoked God to jealous, made God jealous over you when he's used to you at the same place, time, and he can count on you to come there, be there to say, "I love you. I praise the Lord. Oh, Lord, I thank you. I want to be here with you. God, I'm so happy to be here with you. I'm happy for this shut-in tonight. I'm happy for this prayer meeting. I just want to be here with you. I pray that you get all over me, that you walk up and down in me, that you take over my heart. You take over my mind. Let my mind be here with you. All the things that would prevent me from merging or being one with you, I pray that you take it away tonight. Praise God, root it out, pluck up everything you didn't plant in me, Lamb of God. Let that blood sweep over my soul. Let that blood destroy the yokes of sin, to break every fetter, every chain in my life. I pray, Lord." And see, you praying that prayer, but God say the people, and you find throughout history and in our day's time, he say that they provoked him to anger with their high places, and they moved into jealousy, paraded in the Quanah with their graven images. And he said in the 56th verse, "And yet they tempted and provoked the Most High God and kept not his testimonies, and but turned back and dealt unfaithfully like their fathers. And they were turned aside like a deceitful bolt." They ain't going in the direction of the Lord. And this is fused with a coincide with the scripture says, "Save yourself from the untoward generation," the generation of people that's not going toward God or forward to God, but they're turning back. And that deceitful boy is twisted, distorted. When you shoot it, you don't know which way the arrow is going to go, because people are so uncertain. They don't know if they want to serve God or sing or shout or what. And God said these things about them. But look, and see, they did these so many things to upset, to hurt God's feelings. And look what he said in the things that are happening to us today. When they start doing the things contrary to God, God starts sending frogs among them to destroy them, and caterpillars. And when you read verses 43 all the way down, and say he destroyed their vines with hail, and the sycamore trees with false, and he say he gave up their cattle to hail and their flocks to hot thunderbolts, and lightning struck their flocks. And God said in the 49th verse, which is outstanding to me, and I use that in a lot of my teaching when I deal with the emotional levels of God, and he said that he cast upon them the fierceness God put on them. He showed he was mad. He showed them how mad he was with them for being hoish. You can't stay with one lover. You can't love one man. You can't love one woman. You can't love one God, the true and only living God. God said, "I cast upon them the fierceness of my anger and wrath and indignation," going through the emotional level of God, "and trouble by sending evil angels among them." And do not we see that today? And if I was to revise that verse a little bit, I would say, because they troubled God, they troubled the Most High God, saying, "Oh, I've been good to these people. I gave them manna. I sent them quails, and I bought them through everything. I didn't even let their shoes get old on their feet. They didn't get old. Their feet didn't get tired. I was massaging their feet through all of the 40 years of walking there, and I did so much for them. And he said, they troubled me. They still was complaining. They didn't say much. Some didn't say nothing out of this straight up out their mouth. But in their thoughts, then do you not know that God can hear your thoughts and what you say out your mouth? He say, but their thoughts, he say, they troubled me to them. I love them. They good, the bad, and the ugly. And still they got this attitude with me. They still got this attitude in life. They still some time. And all I ask is maybe a day, a week of fasting. And 1 or 2 days of prayer, keep the altars open at the church. I didn't ask you for 7 days, even though you need to pray every day. But I just, 2 specific days, keep the church open for 1 or 2. You couldn't do that. You were mad about that. Oh, I ain't going down in a day. Ain't nobody coming, no way. But isn't it the trial of your faith to see, to prove what's in your heart? God say they troubled me. You know, God get troubled too, right here in the scripture. He said they troubled me, and by what they were doing, their rebelliousness, their neglect of the salvation, praise God, and then they angered. I went from trouble, God said, I started getting an attitude with them like they was me, and they angered me. They made me mad. And then he said, I said, now, the indignation. I started shaking them stuff, throwing stuff, renting mountains and causing rock slides and trying to shake them. I'm mad. You know, like children have a temper tantrum, and they throw stuff and they get mad and stomp. God was trying to show you, I'm angry. You done offended me. You hurt me. Why are you acting like this toward me? Can't you see I'm trying to get your attention? Y'all done upset me here. Can't you realize this me? I just threw that rock. I just called that mountain slide because I'm all angry. I hit it because what? I can't do nothing for these people. They ain't never satisfied with nothing. I told them I want to heal them. They trust what Egypt say about their bodies. They trust Egypt to put stuff in their bodies. They won't even do what I say to be healed. He said, I went from trouble to anger, indignation, and wrath. And we know we're approaching the wrath of God. He said, I sent evil angels among them. God sent evil angels among the nations. Evil angels have been loosed. Man, you can see them flying in all different formations, different forms. What you think is a cloud ain't always a cloud. When they just broken up pieces of black cloud around pure white cloud, these are little pieces that's floating and they moving. Ain't nothing else moving but that little things moving across the sky. Say, oh, that's the army of evil angels going somewhere. Look like they headed toward Mississippi. And Mississippi been getting a big whipping down there because Mississippi just approved Jim Crow law and they still hanging black folks over there. And they won't put it in the news. Still fighting black men and black women mutilated and hanging up in old factories, old buildings, and all, and covering it up. You can't cover sin. God see everything. You can't hide. Think you going to get by? God said, I sent evil angels. He made a way to his anger. He spared not their soul from death, but gave their life over to pestilence. You see, I gave the life over to, I suffered the wicked. He said, when he told him about that, he said, I created the wicked for the day of evil. I'm the one suffered the wicked to put these bacteria disease to release it. I'm the one that's doing the purging. I'm the one that pre-written this story, this script. He said, I'm the one. He said, here, he said, I gave their life over to pestilence. You know what pestilence means? Diseases. I'm the one. Because you won't obey. You won't fast. So if you don't fast, that means you eat. Don't let your body rest. Your digestive system rest. You eat and hear disease build up, bacteria build up, virus back up, microbes build up. biofilm build up, poisons build up, which later leads to organ failure. God said, I loose evil angels among the nations. And I have you, God is still in control. But I'm, it must be a part two on this, that the prince of this world is coming, and that will lead us into the unholy Trinity and 17th chapter of Revelation on how the world rulers, the kings of the earth, is going to give their power and strength to the beast, to Lucifer. Okay, and so he's coming that way through the political pulpits. He will be introduced very shortly. Very shortly, months from now. It ain't going to be a year from looking at the time frame, looking at the numbers, looking at God's calendar, the moon, the sign. Before long, it's introduced, because they're already talking about the third phase, the number of his name, going cashless, dealing with numbers, slanging numbers, the squashing of numbers. And then after that, the mark. Okay, we're going to have to literally have everybody lined up, come and get your stamp or what we call tattoos or a Doppler's new barcode that moves around on your forehead. And you put that on your stamp, Satan's ownership, that you have chosen the side of the devil and his angels, that you are now officially against God and with the beast system. You have moved to the mind or agreed with the mind of the beast. Devil is coming. That's the title, Apostle Caliban. The devil is coming. But Jesus said, he has nothing in me. Let's work on that every day, y'all. Let's work on the devil having nothing in us, getting rid of everything. Everything. Work on trying to find out what sits in the category of a spot, wrinkle, or blemish, or any such thing that will offend or prevent you from being caught up to meet the Lamb of God in the air. I pray God's blessings on you, that heaven smile upon you, and that his holy angels, the one that be with us and for us, remain in camp round about you, keeping you from all hurt, harm, and danger, seen and unseen. And that everything invisible be made visible to you, so you won't walk into something very deadly, step into a place of no turning back, of no point of return. Father, I thank you. I pray that you forgive me if I have not went as far as I need to go or might have add. I pray that this word, oh God, would be sanctified upon the hearts and the minds of your people, and that it would be believed and heard, believed and received and conceived and settled, God, and locked immediate. Oh, God, in the chambers of archive, where your word and eternal things are stored within us, that it all in time be brought back to each of our remembrance of the things you have once said or have said to us during the course of our lifetime. Thank you for more grace. Thank you for more time. Thank you for your people. Bless us. Bless us. Let there be an increase. Let there be an expansion and enlargement. Hallelujah. Of our territory and our borders, our spiritual thinking, our mindset, and our senses forever remain exercised to discern both good and evil. Make us strong, that we can continue to resist the devil and draw nigh to you. And this we ask in Jesus' name, for traveling grace for everyone that's traveling by air, by water, underneath the catacombs of the earth. God, we pray for your protection from all the destruction that wastes at noonday, protection from all assassins, all Manchurian candidates, all of AI killers. God, from all poisoners, in the name of Jesus, all untimely deaths, and that there be no untimely birth, we pray that all things will move timely and accurately according to your will, we pray in Jesus' name. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be accepted in your sight.
for you are my Lord, my strength, and my Redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, saints, people of God, into the hands of
Apostle. Amen. Thank you so much, Prophetess, for that word. What a strong word. A strong word of warning. Warning. That danger is coming. You also ministered so strong there. It was all like telling the world what you need to do to get yourself ready. Get yourself ready. You got to get yourself ready. Because you can't wait till the danger get here to start getting your armor together. You got to be ready, girded up with truth. You have to be in the spirit. You talked about Nicodemus. And so much way you talked about being born again in the spirit and being washed in the water. It's all about salvation. So we thank the Lord. We thank the Lord and praise the Lord for this word because it was a right on time word. We are seeing things that are happening all over the world. You talked about those guillotines that it's all about 19 states you said they're in. People, the enemy is preparing this thing for his entry. And God is also preparing the people for his entry. So on the time, there's two entries that are taking place. The devil is coming, and God is coming for his people. So we have to be ready. We have to be ready. We can't be distracted. We can't allow what's going on to delay us or distract us. Because Jesus told us in the word that all of these things was going to happen. All the things that we're seeing now is already penned down in the book. And we, those that don't know, is those that are not studying the word, that are not reading and studying the word. But God put it there. Father, we just thank you and praise you, God, for your servant taking out of her busy schedule to come and break bread with us today. Give me a chance to rest my truck, even though I had a word too, but we'll bring that word on tomorrow. The Lord say the same. We ask you to bless her. Bless everything that she put her hands on. And Lord, meet all her needs according to your riches and glory. And Father, we are careful, O God, to always remember to give you all the glory and all the honor because it's only due to you and no one else. In Jesus' holy name we pray. The line is open. We have a little time that anybody want to come on and share. Apostle just dropped off, Apostle Stewart. But the line is open. The line is open.
God bless you, Apostle, and Providence. Thank you for the powerful word. The word was so powerful, man. I'm driving my truck, you know, trying to get through the traffic, but it's like it's your mind, the words start opening up inside. There's all kind of scriptures that start coming to your mind when you hear a good word. I just thank God for the word all week and today. I was thinking about what you were saying about what's in your body. I was thinking about Romans 12 and 1 say, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Then verse 2 said, but be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And I was thinking about that scripture when she was talking and thinking about the five of the foolish virgins and just looking at all of, you know, what she was saying and looking at the time we're living in and just looking at, you can tell that the enemy, which is Satan, is time is running out because, you know, he's doing everything he can, not just to distract, keep the world in bondage in the pharmaceutical, because you got, in every city that I go to, you know, traveling across the United States, you got certain parts of the city where people are walk around like zombies, man. They on drugs, they're taking them outside of their mind, they're standing in one spot, and it's wild. And so, you know, you can see that the enemy is really doing everything he can to not let you take them out of people's mind. He's trying to take the conscience, God's conscience, out of people's mind, too. Also, but I just thank God for the word. It was so good. Like I said, I'm just trying to get through the traffic. Traffic kind of heavy out here today. And so I'm trying to be careful at the same time and talk. But I enjoyed the word. It was so powerful. It was good. You know, we just got to continue praying that we get in that place with God, that we get rid of spot wrinkles and blemishes in our life, you know, and make sure that we don't have anything in ourselves that cause the enemy to say, oh, you belong to me. He has to, he has the right to come to us anytime if you want to do. You know, like the Bible says, you know, Ephesians chapter 6 says, put on the whole armor of God. And that's what we have to do. We're going to put the whole armor, because the Bible says we rise to not get flesh and blood, but evil principalities, rules of darkness of this world. And so we got to really get full of God. We'll be able to overcome the things that come and the things that we are facing in this hour. And but I just thank God for them, you know, continue praying that God can move by his power, by his spirit. And just praying for against human trafficking. There's a lot of stuff happening that she's talking about. But, you know, what they're doing with the food, they got this, they call it a pizza party, where they're killing human babies and eating and making pizza out of it. And these people are just that evil, man. They you know, making burgers, human burgers. And it just they're on another level. These people have got so far in the dark, they like Dracula or like vampires, man. They're drinking blood and eating humans. You know, they're having these celebrity parties where they even take a whole human body and eating it like cake. You know, they call it spirit cooking, but, you know, it's just evil. You know, as they press farther in the darkness, our job is to get close to God and get full of God, you know, and just get full of anointing, you know. But I just thank God for the word. You know, help you examine. The word of God is like a lamp. It helps you examine yourself where you can see yourself. It calls you to want to do better and to walk better and walk holy and strictly on God. But I just thank God for the word. God will bless Dave. Love you. Continue praying for me. I pray to God keep us covered with blood. Give us his favor. And my prayer is that we walk in God's will and do his will and pray his will. God bless you.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. You said so much there, Minister Jones. You know, we are in evil times. We are in evil times, and these people, that these celebrities, are doing some stuff that is off the charts. And, you know, I was thinking about it this morning as I was watching this video. This lady, young lady, went and saw the Sound of Freedom. And she haven't stopped crying since she got out of the cinema. She's been crying ever since. She haven't stopped. She said she just can't stop crying because she can't understand how the world can just stand by. She says, not just in America, you know, but it's all over the world that these people are doing these things. And the world is standing by while all these kids are being kidnapped and using in the sex trade, and some is even murdered. You talked about the making the hamburgers or human burgers or human patties or what you call it, and all this stuff is going on. But the world, and you have people that have degrees, in all theology, and some have degrees in different medicine and law and all type of stuff, and they just don't believe it. But then you have some that are involved in it that have doctorate degree in medicine and theology and so on, and they're in it. And it's hard to when you know some of these big preachers that the people are running behind and they're falling, really believe in, you know, but they can't have the guts to say, well, Bishop so and so, Apostle so and so is a homosexual, a lesbian, is a crook, you know. They can't say that because these people that the devil is using their mouth and using their talent, because that's what they're doing. They got talent, you know. They got talent to preach the gospel, you know.
Yeah.
They have talent to preach the gospel, but they don't have the talent to live the gospel. And most people, they don't want to say, well, Bishop so-and-so, Bishop so-and-so is a satanic worker. Yes, because they got a big church.
Yeah.
Because they got a big building. They got a lot of people following them. So they don't want to call them over and say, but I call them all the time because I don't care. They can,
Like I said last week, they can come and break down my door, and they can come and kill me if they want to. But Jesus said, don't be afraid of a man who can kill the body, but be afraid of one who can kill the body and the soul. That's Jesus, you know. Glory to God. So I call them out anytime I want, anytime the Lord leads me to call them out, because they're leading God's people, the people, well, I say God's people, but they're leading people into hell. The ones that would not open their Bible wouldn't open the Bible for themselves. You know, you got so many people wouldn't open the Bible. They don't even own a Bible. They got a cell phone. They say, I got the Bible on the cell phone or on the computer. But they wouldn't even open to the page to study the Bible. They wait till Sunday, they wait till Wednesday or Saturday or whenever the church building door is open to hear word from the bishop, from the apostle, from the pastor and teacher. You understand what I'm saying? And so whatever that man or woman say, they believe. They don't go and do it at the Berean church in the book of Acts. The Bible says they believe, but they search the scriptures daily. Why were they searching the scriptures? Because they want to make sure what the apostle was saying was lined up to what was in the word of God. They didn't just take it. They search the scriptures daily. And this is what a lot of people don't do. So when they go to these big mega churches, they say, oh, Bishop, you preaching good. Oh, Pastor, you preaching good. They don't know what the man said or what the woman said if it's really coming out the word. It just sounds good because they know how to put the word together. They know how to put their sermon together to entice the people to come up there. One man was just preaching the idea from Texas, and he was preaching about the prodigal son. The prodigal son. And all of a sudden, he brings in the prodigal father didn't have no The prodigal son's father didn't have no daughter, so. But what he is bringing into the message is all about LGBTQ. He's added it in the message. This is a prominent bishop. You all know him, too. And he brings this LGBT into the message. You know? So it's okay for women to be LGBTQ because the church is evolving. That's what they say. Yeah. But I haven't read nowhere in the Bible. And God's word really said his church is evolving. The church is not changing from a caterpillar to a butterfly. The church will always be God, the church. God's church will always be the church. I'm not talking about man's church, because a lot of churches, they're not God's church. They're men's church.
That's right.
You understand? That's why the men have their name on the church. They got me and my wife up on the pulpit. They got the picture of the kids and grandkids. In the church, they ain't got Elion, Jehovah Rapha, El Shaddai, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Shavuot, Jehovah Jireh. They don't have these names, Emmanuel, all over the building. They got their name up on the wall. They got their wife's name on the wall. They got their children's name on the wall. I was with his picture was right, and his family was right up in the altar, right up in the altar. So it's man's church, it's not God's church. That's why they're doing what they want to do. They're not following the inscriptions of the word. They're not following what God says to say. Preach the whole scroll, Eat it all up. What they do, they come and say, ah, yes, you know, I was listening, and the Lord spoke to me, and the Lord gave me this word, and I just want to preach this here. And they put all of this stuff. You put all this stuff on that one verse.
Yes,
all this stuff.
I'm sorry, man.
You hear me? You put all this stuff on that one verse.
Man,
you see the preacher preaching real good. I want to tell you. I tell you, the Lord, I spent so much time. The Lord was talking to me. And when the Lord gave me this word, I knew it was going to be a good word. Lord, my throat hurt me, but I got to tell you, that's what they do. That's what they do. And the people get lost in the hooping and the hollering. And they say the preacher preaching good, but they can't see nothing that lining up with their 66 books. Because the preacher only took one verse out of the book. And he put all of his stuff, spent 3 days, 3 nights, putting that sermon together. To entice you, to get you to do what he wanted to do. It's just like a monopoly. He's putting all these pieces together to try to bring it as one to get you following him. No conviction. When you leave there, you say, the preacher, man, the preacher preached so good. Preacher was preaching real good today. Oh, yesterday, man, you should have been there. You ask the person, but what the preacher was preaching about? I don't know what he was preaching about, but he sure did preach good. You know what? Because it wasn't no substance. It wasn't no substance.
But I thank you today that we got substance today from this woman of God.
She gave us something. She told us we got to get ready. We got to prepare ourselves.
Because danger is coming. And I put the topic just as you were preaching. Danger, the danger of leadership, and the danger that's coming. That's the topic. Okay? So God spoke to us today through this word. Because if you got eyes to see,
and even if you don't got eyes to see,
you got ears to hear, you could hear what God is saying through the word. You may not be able to see what's happening in the world out there today, but you sure enough can hear. But a preacher told us today, danger is coming, and it's danger of somebody's leadership, the leadership that is preaching a half-truth. It's dangerous to them for preaching a half-truth.
They have to give an account
for every lie that they tell from the pulpit, because it's a half-truth is a lie. It's not the truth. A half-truth is a lie that they put on the pulpit.
So, bless you, woman of God. If nobody has got anything to share, I'm going to ask
Minister Jones, since he's out there, to come on in and pray and close us out. And his voice will be the last voice you hear. We'll be on tomorrow. I'm going to try to get on with you guys next week. If the Lord say the same on the morning prayer, I'll try to get on in the morning prayer. Hopefully my throat will be completely healed, because I preach, when I pray, and I pray hard. So I go right into the throne room and I touch him on the hem of his garments. When I'm praying, I go right in. I want to touch the hem of my master's garment. So I have to have my throat right. But if I come in, when I come in next week, if my throat is not up to par, I'll just listen and say hallelujah, praise the Lord. Okay?
Yeah.
Better
minister, come on in and pray and close us out.
I think I just saw your wife got on and she got back off. But come on in and pray and close us out.
She's working, my mom, she come on when she can. It'd just be a blessing every day to be able to hear the word of God. I tell you, we can talk all day about this subject, but you're going to go and let everybody go. But God bless you. And just like I said, continue praying against human trafficking, praying for just everything that is happening around the world, praying for Africa. We want to make sure we keep them in prayer, and Haiti and all the other countries that have been suffering and are going through some things that we can't see. But Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word today, God. It was so good to our soul, Lord. We praise and bless your holy name. And God, we just tell you thank you. Lord, first we're going to ask you to forgive us, Lord, if we haven't done all we're supposed to do. And God, if we got anything that shouldn't be there, we ask you to take it away today. In response, regular blessings, Lord, help us, Lord, to examine ourselves, Lord. Your word has called us to look at ourselves to make sure that we're in the right place with you. So God, help us today, God, to be purified in you. With your word, Lord, purify our heart and mind, that we be holy and acceptable in your sight, Lord. You said in your word, on the pure heart shall see you. So, Lord, help our heart to be pure before you. In the name of Jesus, Lord, help us to pray your will, walk in your will. Lord, you said in your word, the steps of a good man are ordered by you. Not only you can order our steps. So, Lord, we ask you to help us today, in the name of Jesus, God, do your will, do your word, and walk in your word. Give us unity. In the name of Jesus, we cast down everything and every trap that the enemy tried to set before. We plead the blood of Jesus against every principality, witchcraft, voodoo, black magic, sorcery. We plead the blood of Jesus. We break it down in the name of Jesus. And we destroy every yoke, God. We break every chain. Today, God, we ask you, God, to bring deliverance. In the name of Jesus, we speak power, peace, favor in your word and your power and your anointing. Lord, bring your anointing in our life, Lord, that we can do your will. And Lord, that we can finish the work that you have done in our life. And Lord, keep us throughout today. Cover us with your blood, God. In the name of Jesus, God, continue, God, to anoint and bless every man and woman of God on the side of my boy, the property, pastors, the dealers that's on this radio broadcast, and everyone that's out there, Lord, that desires to be close to you, Lord. Draw them close to you. Help them, Lord, to know you in a better way, Lord. And we forever bless your name. Stand the glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Mr. Jones. God bless you all. Have a blessed day. We'll talk to you all later. We'll be on tomorrow afternoon at 12 o'clock. Excuse me. Minister, Deacon Fraser, he'll be on tonight at 8:15, 8:30, somewhere around there. His number is 712-432-3900. That's 712-432-3900. And the access code is 308587. 308587. God bless you all. I'll see you all later. God bless. Be safe out there, Minister Jones. We love you, but God loves you more. God bless you. Bye-bye.